about that. But the point is, we're just not going to say, oh, if you're a Christian, here's probably what you've heard a lot of times at church over the years. Get ready, guys. I'm going to say this and you can follow me. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And yes. All the time, God is good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you want to throw up right now, go ahead. I mean, you can.
See how we go right into marching orders? Like we finish it without you even.
That's a taste of the cosmic good. This week's episode of The Wise Guys, a podcast that unleashes the unthinkable in culture, religion, business, and everyday life. So, it's time to step over the line, strap in, and let's see if you are willing to let Mac and the team take you to a place of thinking differently.
Okay, welcome to The Wise Guys, a podcast where we unleash the unthinkable and step over the line to help us see things differently and usher in a new renaissance centered around creativity, spiritual depth, and a willingness to step over the line. Hi, I'm Mac, your host. And here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Oh, do we live in a depraved world? Fallen from goodness? Exploding? Or should we look at it all as fundamentally good? And if we do that, how do we reconcile the awful stuff that we see and experience if there's a good God? And more importantly, why does it matter? So there's where we're going to the edge tonight, wise guys. Hey, welcome. Good to see you guys, as always.
Good to see you too. You know, I start my every morning, every day with good morning, God. But most of the world's going, good God, it's morning. I love spending time That's with you guys awesome. Because you're the a rev. Happy place. You're an oasis for me, and I just love this little playground we're creating.
Yeah. This is fantastic. Hey, Mac. Hey, Rev.
Hello.
And let me say hello to all of you beautiful exotic cocktails out there. And all of you aliens, because this is the cosmic good, right? Are we talking about aliens tonight?
Welcome to the Cosmic Lounge.
Here we are.
Could be. All right.
So, hey, they're welcome too. Aliens, you know, we'll take them.
They got God somewhere, probably.
I mean, yeah. Right?
They are my people.
There it is. Okay. So they're going to take you away. Beam me up, Scotty.
Shazbat.
Cosmic good.
Yeah, the cosmic, but here's the thing. Yes, we're going to talk about the cosmic good, but we have to put a little bit of an inflection in there. Okay?
Where is it?
So here's the way it goes. The cosmic good?
All right? Question mark.
So we're going to put a little question mark at the end of that, right? Because here's the deal, gang. Here's the deal. We aren't going to come at you tonight assuming that you think necessarily that there's a cosmic good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to have our opinion. We're going to frame it from our perspective. We're going to talk about our own individual experiences because it's very experiential when you start to talk about the cosmos and how it affects us and how we grid it, how we look at God. That's very personal. Now, it can be communal as well, but it starts personally. We're not landing the plane for you. That's not fair, and we don't want to do that. We want to leave this discussion open enough that you can ponder some of the stuff, and everybody's situation is different. Everybody's got it. You know, some people have huge trauma and, you know, horrible things that have happened in their life, and maybe those things have been jumping off points for you to experience God a deeper way. We're going to probably talk a little bit about that. But the point is, we're just not going to say, oh, if you're a Christian, here's probably what you've heard a lot of times at church over the years. Get ready, guys. I'm going to say this and you can follow me. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Yeah, I hear you.
Now, if you want to throw up right now, go ahead. I mean, you can.
You see how we fell right into marching orders? Like we finish it without you even repeating it. But here's the thing. Good God, right? Good God. I mean, here we go.
Yeah.
So there, I mean, most people think that that God is good, right? But there are people that don't think God is good.
There's a whole bunch of people teaching that God is this thing to be feared that's right. going to get you if you don't pay attention.
Right.
Wow. Exactly.
Right. Like, where were you, God, when, you know, fill in the dot? And that to me isn't, to them is not a good God. So we're going to talk about that.
Sure.
Because some really awful stuff, as you said, happens in life. It's not like we walk through life and it's just, you know, tulips and rainbows and unicorns. And
well, for sure.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. You know, and part of the agnostic or atheistic, if you will, a perspective a lot of times comes from the fact that, you know, religion is just a crutch. You know, it's just a way to help people navigate through the bad stuff and when they have stuff go on, but there's really no substance to it, and you know you're just weak, right?
Well, you know, I dance in their ballroom a lot. When it comes to agnostics and atheists, we have created a God in our image. We're given this personality. Oh, he's good, he's bad. What if he's neither? What if it's just an isness? It's an energy, it's a life force, and it's nothing till we call it.
Uh-huh,
it ain't. That's like the umpire. You know, it's the bases are loaded. It's two strikes, three balls, and the pitcher throws it, and the crowd goes crazy. The people on the field, it's a strike. The people in the dugout, it's a ball. And the umpire puts his hands up, gets the crowd to hush, and says, it ain't nothing till I call it. And the reality is, yeah. God, good or bad, it ain't nothing till we call it. So I'm about personal responsibility. And that's what the agnostics are saying.
Well,
take responsibility.
Wow. Yeah, that's jerking your chain. That's jerking my chain, Rev. Okay.
The Rev throwing out the wisdom right out the gate.
He is.
Ooh. He's stepping up the game for us, Mac.
It's tough to act to follow here now. So, but pay attention. Pay attention out there.
Well, we're going to. Okay? I just want to say this again. We're going to come from this from the perspective of that God is good.
Uh huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like
well,
in this
yeah.
conversation today.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think we can each look at each other. The three of us, the wise guys, will look at each other and we can say God is good. Now, here's what we need to talk about, and here's what is going to come out in this episode. Why do you think that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you believe that?
Right.
Right. I mean, what is your personal, how do we validate your personal experience in this whole thing? Because that's, again, that's really what it's going to come down to, a lot of it, right? Now, we are going to talk about maybe some of the things when we look at God too much through the rose-colored glasses, or we look at God, as Rev's already mentioned, as this, you know, I'm not going to call him a demon, but I'm going to say, you know, this disciplinarian, this overbearing, angry. Yeah, right, you know, deity. So
vengeful,
a vengeful, good word,
punishing, angry man.
Right. Yeah. So why does that matter? Right. If that's the way, and you know what? Here's the thing. This isn't just about necessarily Judaism, the God in the Bible in the Old Testament, or Christianity, where you see Jesus and God in the New Testament and whether they're the same or not. I'm just saying this has very broad implications. Whether you're Christian or you're not, whether you're Jewish or not, doesn't matter what your religion is, because you have a concept of the greater than. And even if you're an atheist or an agnostic, how do you grid the stuff out there? How do you grid? How do you make sense of whether it's good or whether it's bad?
Or when awful things happen, when bad things happen.
Typically,
right?
That's where
you
go.
How do you grid that is what you're you're asking.
Typically, that's what the challenge is.
Right.
Right.
Concepts and scripture and theology is completely useless until it's implemented in your life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, let's get personal. I've implemented these ideas. I didn't take anybody's word for it. I've tried it out. And my belief system that I will talk about tonight is, wow, I've got evidence. When I believe this way, this is what happens. When
right.
I believe this way, that's what happens.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about, we've talked about this, and we will continue to talk about the idea of being a mystic. We talked about that in one of our early episodes, Mavericks, Mystics, and Misfits. When you talk about a mystic, the typical definition of a mystic is someone that has personal experience. I mean, someone that can say, this is what happened to me. Right, it's an encounter with the divine, if we can put it that way. Mm-hmm. Right, so maybe we can start first of all.
Yeah, and a mystic never defines themselves by what happened to them. It's what's beneath the surface. We've got to rise above what's happening to. Yeah, there are people victimized, and if you're just defining yourself only as a human being with bad experiences, God sucks. You're not looking deep enough. You got to dig a little deeper in the well.
You know what? We might have to do a bumper sticker that says God sucks, but then put the truth in little tiny print, maybe kind of underneath it, just to make sure that that's not what we leave them with, though. Okay. That's an interesting
That would draw some attention for sure. <It's>,
what? Some eggs on your car.
So let's talk something very common, all right, especially where we live, and if you live in the spiritual, the religious realm, we have, and most of us understand the creation story that we might find in the Bible, right? So whether you're of a Jewish persuasion or you're of your Christian persuasion, you're familiar with this, and I'm guessing that other faiths and other religions at least have heard of this story, right, where we have a creator and basically creates all that we see here, including us, and for the most part, he, in this case, all right, is saying, I'm done with this one, and it's good. Okay, and then the next day, I'm done with this creation, and it's good. And then he ends with, this is very good. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we have what is framed in the Bible, starting as an original blessing. It's all good. Good. Right? Yeah. There's the story.
Right. I like it.
Okay, I like that. I'm nodding. I think I'm liking it. Yeah. I'm liking that story.
Amen.
Right. Can I have an amen?
I'm with you.
That'll preach.
All right. Then though, we have this other story that follows that about sin and depravity and fallenness that then gets carried forward ever since then as our story now. Now we're asked to adopt the story that says you're fallen. You are in opposition to God because of an act back here, and now humanity, God's like whether turning back on or can't listen to, can't look at, can't even comprehend at the very beginning. So when you come out of the chute here, gang, this is the way you God looks at you, okay?
Since the beginning of time, humanity's been trying to figure out why bad things happen.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's first blame God. Let's blame Eve. Let's blame Adam. Let's blame anybody but ourselves. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of still like blaming Eve. I don't know.
It is much easier to blame somebody else.
Well, let me tell you, I am here to represent Adam and Eve in this court of law. And I am going to get Eve off the hook immediately, because when God told Adam about the tree of knowledge, and he wasn't supposed to eat from it, Eve did not even exist yet. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, if I can speak like an attorney, What she got from Adam was just near hearsay. Like, she doesn't know that she's not supposed to pull from that tree. Mm-hmm. Wow. So I think she's off the hook, right?
Whoa, you just came with, you know, there's no culpability there then, right? Yeah.
All right, who's to blame then?
I don't know, man. You know what, Stu? You know, that's a really good point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right. Okay. I appreciate that. I can continue on, because when you're referencing the tree in the center of the garden, there are actually two trees there, mm-hmm. right? So how does Adam know for sure he's referencing the tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life?
You know what, Stu, I'm so confused.
I think you're
now.
Barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. I'm so confused now. All right. God, it's way more comfortable blame somebody.
Excuse me, Counselor Stu.
Order in the court.
Yeah, we got the judge, the jury, and then, yeah, okay.
I think this is a clear case of entrapment. That's just the way I'm seeing this.
God. Oh, Lordy. So,
God, you know, God and Adam had the knowledge, but, you know, they kept it from Eve.
For whatever reason, Adam didn't convey it to Eve like he should have.
It's like I said. Right? Yeah.
Here's what I think. Whoever wrote the darn story was on some kind of drug and just made it all up.
Yeah. Just because it was good for Saturday Night Live, right?
This will explain something we can't explain.
So, but here's the thing, okay? All kidding aside, per se, if you adopt that theology, and when you adopt that theology, you adopt that view of God. Right? I mean, I'm connecting the dots here. All right, I'm connecting the dots for you. So therefore, as Stu's already used that word, I love that's one of my favorite words. What's it there for? When you see a therefore, you have to decide what it's there for, right? So now we have this religion that gets formulated around the idea that pretty much we're just shitty, all right? And then we have to go through the dance to get forgiven, and we have to get redeemed and all of that. But here's the deal. when you teach from the very cradle, and this happened literally up until the Reformation, because there was only one church. There was only one basic, without getting into all that, doctrine that came from the Catholic Church. We really screwed things up when we started to look at each other and ourselves, and we gave away our power to others that exploited it. And we spent almost over 2,000 years now in that same place. Are you catching my drift here, that it matters, that it had an impact on us and how we look at each other, how we look at the world, how we look at divinity?
It's impacting everything about the world we live in today. We've perpetuated a myth that we're basically inherently bad, broken, and stained, and need to be fixed. And so the mythology grows and grows and grows. And so the world as we see it today is a mess because we're basically believing that we're bad people.
Yeah.
There's a critical mass of people that believe that there's something wrong with us.
Well, yeah.
I'm saying take a look at what's right with us. What's right with life? Take a moment. Tell my piano students, count the right notes once in a while.
Oh, I like that.
I like it. That's really good. Count the right notes once in a while.
Right. Perspective, right? How are you going to look at it? Oh,
that's beautiful, Rev. Mm-hmm. I like that. So here we go again. So now we have this whole theology, this whole way of looking at God, and enter into the, what Stu's already mentioned, when bad things happen to good people. Now, and we always use that phrase, right? What's the deal when bad things happen to who? Good people, like they're supposed to happen to bad people, but we question why they happen to good people, right?
Yeah, so, that's interesting, right?
There's this definitive, well, you deserve it over there. You, of course, that's natural. Like, I can understand why, but this person over here, oh, I don't know why God's picking on them, right? So we have to grid all that, and we have to understand and go back to what Rev was talking about in the very beginning. Maybe if we say, well, God either is good or bad, how can God can't necessarily be both? But maybe, I think the Rev's already mentioned, neither.
Neither.
Maybe there's a neither involved in there somewhere, right? That instead of trying to label God and give God, and we've done it not just in Christianity, but I mean religion in general, we've given a God, the gods, a persona. We've given them a personality. We've given them the, you know, dialogue.
We've used God as a weapon to divide people, the good people and the bad people.
Right.
So if you're on my side, you're the good people. And if you're not on my side, you're the bad people. And then we've used God as the great weapon to scare people.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just me saying it. God is saying it through me.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Not only is he saying it through me, but by the way, I want your stuff because God told me I could have it.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, religious manipulation has been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to rise above this game. We talk about a new renaissance. We have to start thinking a little bit more intelligently and with deeper spirituality. This is what we're trying to get across. Everything that we're going to do in this podcast helps take us to a greater and higher place. It's time for this.
A more empowered place. Take your power back and quit giving it to somebody who said you were bad or you didn't belong or you were wrong or you're stupid. Take your power back.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We gotta put fooling around with
that
this.
That puts on the inside edge. The inside edge is more power as an individual ambassador and emissary of God.
Well, yeah. Hello.
So in the beginning of this episode, we talked about God being good, right? And assuming there's a good God out there, why do bad things happen?
Well, see, there's a quintessential question. We face this a lot when we've done stuff that we've done. I'm sure Rev's
every day of my life.
Exactly.
And sometimes I'm the one asking the question.
So one thing I'll say about this question is this.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody has it. There's like two perspectives. One is like intellectual, like questioning, like I'm curious, you know, to know what the answer is. The other is coming from people that are suffering.
Right.
So it's heartfelt. They are, why did this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's always when things happen to them.
Yep.
That it becomes that, right?
Sure.
So that's where we have to be sensitive.
Well, I like to say is, you know, I am concerned. I'm compassionate and care about what happened to you. But I'm more concerned about who you are and what's awakened in you as a result of this crappy experience that you just had. Let me call that out from within you, that God essence that is not defined by that horrible evil or whatever it might be, but by a spiritual reality that's more profoundly you. And is there a possibility with this crap that hit your life in your field that you can become more of yourself as a divine essence? Where are you giving the power? If you give the power away to the person who victimized you, they're victimizing you for the rest of your life. But if you claim your power, you become the victor in that story.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, I will listen to the story with compassionate eyes. I will cry with you. I'll moan and groan, but I'm going to say, let's find something within you that's greater than any of this. And I believe that's possible. I've done it for myself.
That's I love that way of looking at things. I mean, I've been accused of having toxic positivity. So, I mean, I'll take that as a compliment. But, you know, here's the people ask, you know, why are we asking, or why are people asking the question? Like, why are they blaming God, right? When something bad happens, it's God's fault. Either God didn't do something or he did something. And here's what's interesting. People that believe in God say this, right? People that don't believe in God say this.
Right.
Hey, where was your God?
Yeah.
Why didn't your God step in? Like, well, I mean, it doesn't even matter if you believe. So to me, they believe in him. If you're going to acknowledge him like that, you
believe
in him.
What God are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why are we putting the blame on, instead of what the Rev is talking about, like, let me do something about it. I have control in my life. I should, right? I'm not going to give my power away to anybody. Why am I blaming God for it? You know?
I know too many people who had terrible things happen to them, worse than I've ever experienced in my life, who turned that around and used that energy like a great spiritual Tai Chi master. They took that crappy energy and they turned it into something beautiful. It's lemonade, if you will.
Right.
Lemons showed up and they made lemonade. I've also known people that had lemons show up and they sucked on a lemon for the rest of their life. Well, what's working for you? Let me be a part of your team, your tribe of five, who's going to lift you up. And it's not about toxic positivity. It's about truth. I can see you. I know who you are. And I'm going to call that out. And you're going to call it out in me. And the water's going to rise in the harbor for everybody.
Right. Oh, I love it.
That's
there
awesome.
It is. Well, here's what I'm going to propose. When that question gets asked, it's the wrong question.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't a question that you should even be pondering, right? It doesn't take you anywhere. It'll take you lots of little squirrel places that say, well, all right, if I didn't pray enough, or I didn't do this enough, or I wasn't good enough, or there was something about me doing that, then God went, oh, okay, or oh, not okay, you're getting spanked. You create a whole scenario that is so difficult to keep up with.
Well, I mean, it's religious and spiritual malpractice is what it is.
I love that. Hello. Oh, let's see. We got the lawyer over here. We got some malpractice going on here, man.
Counselors too, yeah.
You know, ready to sue. Great. I love that word, right? Because we're focusing on completely the wrong thing. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you aren't going to get an answer that you're willing to buy to that question. Right. There just isn't. You're looking for something that just isn't there.
But Mac, listen, I'm doing all the right things. I pray, I go to church, you know, every week. You know, I'm a good person. I do good things. Like, why would God allow this to happen to me? This is what somebody's going to say.
Yeah.
Right.
And what it is, again, it's the wrong question because you've got the wrong perception of God when you start asking those kinds of questions.
Well, here's the thing that I think about with this question. If God wanted to, he could get rid of all the bad things on earth, right? I mean, he could create a state where nobody could do anything bad, right? But guess what happens? We lose our free will. We lose our choice, right? I cannot choose to do something bad anymore if we have that kind of a God.
Well,
I can't choose, you know, to be happy or to be sad or to be, you know, evil or to be nice. Like, I don't have any choices anymore.
Well,
this is going to be
we're an
so God could do that, but he chose not to.
We're programmed.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You're not a robot. Thank goodness we're not robots, right?
Yeah.
Because you'd basically be forced to do the right thing in God's eyes, if that was the case, right? So do you even want God? I mean, we kind of want God to do it when it's personal. We want him to step in and take care of it.
Yep, fix it to our
expectations. I'll call you when I need you.
Yeah,
but just stay in the corner for now.
And I want it done this way.
Right.
Okay, just make sure you got the instructions.
It's, again, all these personality traits that we've made God into the, like, my father or my brother or my mother or whoever I didn't like or did like.
Yeah.
You got to take that out. You put God into a realm that he doesn't belong.
So here's the question. Like, exactly. If you're sitting down with God, who in my mind is George Burns, right? Remember, Oh God, the movie? George Burns, right? So what if God, so I wrote down a question. Like, what if God allowed suffering because it deepens our character and allows us to be able to relate to others in their hardship? What if that was the reason why he's allowing it to happen and not stepping in?
Right.
Like, is that good?
Well, it's still a personality-centric God.
Yeah.
God, the only thing God allows, and you hit the nail on the head, is your choice. Mm-hmm. You get to choose. You didn't like the choice you made, bad consequences, choose something different tomorrow. But I'm not going to interfere with that. Oh, I'm allowing you to suffer so that you can have compassion for your brother. That's an old paradigm that needs to die, and because there's no responsibility in that.
Right.
So if you guys will allow me, I already mentioned Oh God, okay? Yeah. So Oh God, book 2, the movie, George Burns, right?
Uh-huh.
So there was a great conversation between a little girl and God.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
About that's why do, and she asked him the question, why do bad things happen?
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a little bit of it. And so basically God says, you know, things you think are bad are not always bad. Sometimes there's a purpose you're not aware of. This is what God says, right? So she's like, but what about like sickness? What about kids my age, like who get sick and die? Like, those are really bad things, aren't they? And God says, well, yeah, they are. You know, yeah, pain and suffering, that's a hard one to explain. And then he says this. And this is
a hard one to explain.
Yeah. Then he says this. He says, I know this sounds like a cop-out, but there's really nothing I can do about pain and suffering. It's built into the system.
Oh.
So check this out. She's like, which you invented. Like, she's calling God out, right? And he's like, right, but my problem was I never could figure out how to make anything just one-sided, with just one side to it. And she's like, what, one side? He's like, did you ever see a front without a back, or a top without a bottom, or an up without a down? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, God says, well, then there can't be good without bad, life without death, pleasure without pain. That's just how it is. He says, if I take sad away, then happy has to go with it. And if anyone knows another way, a movie. He's like, I wish you'd put it in the suggestion box, which I'm looking for that at the Red's Church. Where is that suggestion box for God?
Well, that could be really dangerous.
I mean, when I saw this interaction, it like I was like, wow, like that's really cool because it makes so much sense to me. Like if in my logical mind when I think about it, like if you take one thing away, like then you got to take have the other.
Well,
how can you understand being happy if you don't know what it is to be sad, right? Et cetera.
It's definable like that, and then it's more than that, you know? I mean, we're talking about cosmic, right? Isn't that in our thing tonight? You know, in the title, we're talking about cosmic good, and some of this stuff is just unfigureoutable, right?
Well, we're trying to understand it from the minute reality of our human existence.
Right.
With all those qualities, they're great, and that's part of the human experience. Bad, good, dark, light. That's a yin and a yang. That's important to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to rise above all of it. You know, to be detached, if you will, a Buddhist would say, detached from the good and the bad, but just a sense of being. That's a spiritual reality. So, yes, we're going to be crucified. You are going to be crucified on earth, but you're going to find the capacity to know the Christ of your being to rise above all of it because it does not define you.
Well, exactly. What Rev's talking about here is what we're very committed to, as well as is you got to approach this whole topic from a deeper spirituality framework. If you don't integrate some deeper pondering, some deeper searching, some deeper contemplating, then virtually you're just going to chase your tail. I mean, and you're going to be even more frustrated than you were when you tried to start. Yeah. So, you know, we got to have that as part of a better understanding of how all of this works. We haven't, you know, we don't arrive, but we're getting there. Okay.
And it's not about being a Pollyanna.
Oh, it's not.
Not in the least. It's like, man, you're going to have some tough things happen. Let's go through it together, but let's rise above it together.
Absolutely. So, you know, yes. And I want to leave it with that as we pause here. And then we're going to start to talk about sort of God itself, the cosmic God, the cosmic good. And is it really good? And we've already kind of hit on a lot of that, but I think we can apply some of this in a more direct way, and we'll try to do that in the second half. So we'll be right back.
Like what you hear so far? Join us in the Rogue Nation by going to our website, www.gorogue.life, where you will find links to our social media and podcast channels, posts on the Seeing Differently blog, and a way to subscribe to all our happenings. We encourage you to become a member of our cafe, where you can interact with us and fellow Roguers and keep the conversation going. Please share us and like us. And now, let's get back to our wise guys.
Okay, we're back to the Wise Guys podcast. And in this episode, we are talking about a cosmic goodness. Is there really an overarching cosmic good that exists in the universe, whether it's God or, you know, a greater power, whatever it might be?
Yes. I'm answering yes.
Stu says yes. All right.
Let's make that two yeses.
All right. The Rev's chiming in, and he is saying yes as well. And so the question that comes to, we talked about the first half was, let's talk about, well, why is that? Okay. Maybe it was just something that you just been taught your whole life. Maybe you sang it in Sunday school. Oh, God is good. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you never questioned it. You never ever bothered to say, well, is that really true? I don't know. And a lot of times until you get enough hard knocks, maybe you don't even question it. Maybe if life kind of just cruises along for you, but you know, eventually most people, the wheels come off at some point.
I hope so. If you're not questioning the God of your youth, then you're not growing. I'm not questioning the God of yesterday, I'm not growing.
Oh, so what's that saying? Do you have a mature faith or do you have a child faith? Now, not childlike. There's a little difference there when it comes to the Bible, but has your beautiful point? Has your spirituality matured over time?
Only if you've re-explored it. I mean, I went through this.
Yeah, sure. Me too.
You know? I mean, yeah. From the moment I could understand anything, I was told who God is and what he's going to do for me or not do for me and what I had to do. I mean, if I hadn't re-explored that, that would have been my perspective the rest of my life.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, so, those kinds of journeys are beautiful because when we can begin to start to ponder and question, that's when really you put the car in out of park and you put it in the drive.
Well, think about it. You move as a child into an adult and even younger. You move past the Santa Claus phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I mean, why wouldn't you do this with your faith and with you know? I mean, it's,
what do you think out there, gang? Have you? Do you?
Hey, if Santa Claus is still your guy, that's awesome. I'm not going to.
If Santa Claus makes you kinder and more compassionate and gentle, great. Keep on believing it, but there's more God to experience.
For real.
But, you know,
you better watch out. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is going to get you.
I'm telling
you. Put you in hell.
I'm telling you why. Okay? And that may be a good lead-in. As we're talking about, well, what is God like? Is God good? Right? We're pondering that question. We're asking the question, right? We can have our own personal opinion that says, yes, I believe God's good. And then there's a why behind that. But it's interesting as you run it through the Christian grid for sure. And I thought Rob Bell just did a really, really excellent job with this. We want to play a little clip from him. He wrote a book back in 2011 called Love Wins. It was a big shakeup in the evangelical community. It's one of my favorite books, as a matter of fact. But we're going to play this little clip of Rob's because I think it really helps you think about God maybe in a way that you haven't ever done before. Interesting. So let's play it.
Will only a few select people make it to heaven? And will billions and billions of people burn forever in hell? And if that's the case, how do you become one of the few? Is it what you believe or what you say or what you do or who you know or something that happens in your heart? Or do you need to be initiated or baptized or take a class or converted or being born again? How does one become one of these few? And then there is the question behind the questions, the real question, what is God like? Because millions and millions of people were taught that the primary message, the center of the gospel of Jesus, is that God is going to send you to hell unless you believe in Jesus. And so what gets subtly sort of caught and taught is that Jesus rescues you from God. But what kind of God is that, that we would need to be rescued from this God? How could that God ever be good? How could that God ever be trusted? And how could that ever be good news?
Wow. That's...
Every time I hear that, every time I watch that little video, every time I hear that, I shake my head a little bit and I just go, oh my Lord, when you adopt that philosophy, and that's the way you lived your life. I'm going to echo what Rob says. How could that ever be good news?
I can't believe in a God that loves me so much that he's created a personalized torture chamber for me, that if I don't walk lockstep exactly the way this God says, you're going to go to a personal torture chamber of hell.
Yeah.
This has been bought hook, line, and sinker by people since the beginning of time, and it's time to stop it. Because it is about control, it's about manipulation, it's about power, it's about money, it's about all these things that God is not.
You said it already, Rev. Let's hold that Bob Newhart skit that we talk about all the time that I just absolutely love. He's the counselor. Just stop it. Just stop. That's all the advice I got for you. Just stop. Quit doing it.
Well, and Jesus showed us the way. I mean, he showed us what the love of God means. I mean, to everybody. And I mean everybody.
Yeah. Like,
everybody. God's love is for everyone. Regardless if you acknowledge God exists or not, God loves you. Yeah, wants the best for you.
Love is love.
Yeah. When you say it's unconditional, it is unconditional. Okay. Just by the definition. Right.
We're not punished for our sins. We're punished by our sins.
Oh.
That's a meme.
That might be. I was just going to say meme.
That's an old one. I can't take any credit for it.
No, yeah, but that's a good one, though. I like that. I mean, here, look, we're asking you to maybe stand on your head here a little bit, gang, you know, to think about things a little differently. That's what this podcast is all about. Because we truly believe that if you begin to at least ponder, you may not come to the same conclusions that we do. And we respect that in whatever form it is. But if nothing else, you've pondered it, you've thought about it, you've considered it, you mulled it over and said, I hadn't thought about it that way. Let me think about that. Mission accomplished from our standpoint. We encourage you in that because good stuff is going to happen if you do that enough. Right.
Just try it. That's all I say. Don't take our word for it. Just try to think just a little bit differently and then look at the evidence that shows up in your life.
Right.
If you can do it long enough.
Right. Exactly.
I'm talking about personal application in my life. I've tried these principles. When I look at things as bad, bad things happen. When I change my focus and change my attitude, no matter how dark it might be or painful it might be, I turn things around.
Well,
Rev, yeah. What you're looking for, you're going to find, right?
Exactly. Angry people are going to find reasons to be angry.
You're going to find reasons to be angry. If you're looking for love, you're going to find it.
That's how I found you two guys.
Looking for love.
In all the wrong places.
Yeah, that's for darn sure.
Oh, man, here we go.
Oh, my God, yeah. That would be
Where's my guitar?
Oh, God. Where do I go from here on that one now? All right, hold on.
About the good life.
Let me regroup here just a second, okay? But, you know, a common phrase for what the Rev was talking about was a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We hear that term all the time, that when you put out X, X will return, maybe multiplied. But the point is, if you're out there in X land, you're not going to get Y, all right? It just doesn't work that way. And so, again, whether you believe that there's even a God, sometimes you can just disconnect God if you want to. I mean, I don't, but if you want to disconnect and just say, this is the way the cosmos works, that if you go out there with a negative attitude, you're going to attract negativity.
The law of attraction is a real scientific thing.
Yeah, let's take God out of the equation. I mean, I'm just saying for the moment.
Take the personality out of the equation. It's law. God as a law put into our hands through our choice to manifest the life that we want. And if we don't like what life's showing us, change your stinking thinking.
There it is.
And look a different direction. Turn the other cheek and look a different way and try something different. It may or may not work, but just got to try it.
Right. Exactly. So one of my favorite things, so if you are a spiritual individual, I didn't say Christian, I didn't say Jewish, I didn't say anything else. I just said if you're spiritual, my belief is that there are concepts and there is wisdom within the Bible that anybody can apply. Just like I'm sure if I read some of the other wisdom literature from other religions, I'm sure of it, the ones that I have, you can glean wisdom out of all of it. And so there's a particular part in the Bible that if you decide that God's good and if you decide that God can equip you, can empower you, can come along and assist you and give you a power through its spirit, then how about this? And I'm going to say this right up front. Even if you don't think that, you want some of this? Here's what I'm going to read here. You want some of this? And this is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. And if you've never read, if you're a Christian out there and you love the Bible and you just, you know, it's on your coffee table and your nightstand and you carry it around and you got it annotated, have you ever picked up and read the Message version?
Oh, I love the Message.
Yeah. Of Scripture.
Yeah.
I call that rubber meets the road spirituality. It's practical. It's easily accessible.
It's so personal, too. It's conversational.
It speaks to our culture today.
Yes. So here's what Paul says. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on here, Galatians. I'm not going over that. I'm going to give you the nuggets. He says this, my counsel is this. And if Paul is saying this, Paul of Tarsus is saying this, I'm going to kind of listen. All right? Okay. He's pretty smart, you know, pretty smart guy. My counsel is this, live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. There's his counsel. Now, just take that in for a moment. And if you want some of that, the next question that most people ask is, well, how do I do that?
Let's hear it.
You know, how do I do that, right? How do I be animated and motivated by God's Spirit? First of all, you got to believe there is a Spirit, right? You got to entertain it. You got to cultivate this. And it comes over time. It truly does. You have to work at it so that you listen, so that you wake up, so that you're not asleep to all the promptings of the Spirit. And this is a whole topic maybe for a whole another episode I think we could probably do on it. So once you do that, here's what he says a little bit later. And this is what I'm asking you. Do you want some of this? Here's what Paul says. And what happens when we live God's way, which is what? Animated, motivated by God's Spirit, right? Here's what God does, or here's what happens. If we take the personality out of it, let's just call it the natural law. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Okay, here's the question again, Rogers. You want some of that? Is that a life that you might aspire to?
Oh, yeah.
That would be sweet. As we were reading that, I was going back to Jesus' words. He says, the field is white with harvest. It's ripe. It's there.
Yeah.
It's been given. It's the kingdom of heaven has been given to us. What these qualities do is they open our eyes to it. Mm. They open our ears and our heart and our soul and our lives to it. But it's always there. Back to the Rob Bell quote. What do we have to do? Do we have to think? You don't have to think anything different, be anything different, do anything different. You just have to open your eyes and look.
Yeah. You wake up. Okay.
And so when you're living those fruits of the Spirit, suddenly your eyes are opened and you see what's always been there the whole time and you'd missed it. You were blind.
You know, this is just an easy way to think about living a good life. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's really what it is. This is how you can do it. It doesn't sound like that hard to me. Right? When you read it.
Right.
Especially out of the Message. I mean, it really strikes home for me. I mean, I can do these things. Yes. And do these things.
You want more love in your life? Be more loving. You want more joy in your life? Create joy for somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, and if you're a Christian and if you know the Bible and if you've read it, you're familiar with it at all, Rev's already said it, this is the fruits of the Spirit. You may not have recognized it as that, except for that one little line in the beginning. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Because I can remember a time when I sat down with a bunch of guys, we were doing a Bible study, and I read this in the study. And they were like deer in the headlights, you know? And then one of the guys, one of my buddies, he looks at me and he goes, that sounds like the fruits of the Spirit, kind of. Yeah. And he just never had heard it that way. See, we like to have them be a litany. We like the little list. We like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there it is, there it is. That's how we learn it. The flannel graph and catechism, right? No. Okay? God's way more interactive than that. He doesn't want you to have a checklist. He wants you to have a life like this. Okay? Jesus would be the first one to say, hello, okay?
This is the will of God, for you to experience all these things.
Absolutely.
And go back to our original talk about the Garden of Eden. You're barking up the wrong tree.
Right.
Most of us are living in an orchard of the fruit that's what's wrong with the world. Back to the right notes. Go to the other tree. Go to a different orchard and start looking for love. Have the eyes and the ears to seek it out. If you're not experiencing it, go look in a different orchard. and I'll go with you. Lead me to your orchard where you found it, and let's share that fruit.
Right. Well, and sharing, I can remember my buddy saying, oh my gosh, this was when we were talking about this. He gets this picture in his mind. He goes, all right, wait a minute here. Here's what's coming to me. I'm picturing this whole thing. And here's what I see. Me standing underneath this fruit tree, eating this piece of fruit, and the juices are just dripping off my chin and down my face. And I'm loving it, man. I get that picture in my mind every time I think about reading this whole thing. But this is the goodness. This is the goodness. Here it is. And this can happen. So,
as good as your life has been, it can be way juicier.
It's
and
right.
As bad as your life has been, it can be better.
Absolutely.
It can. I absolutely know that. And those who are willing to explore and adventure and go a little rogue to find it will find that orchard, and the juice will be dripping out of their mouth, and they'll be, wow, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
So we got to say thanks, gang. Oh, man, this has been awesome. We could talk about this for like hours. I know we could, but we want to kind of, we're going to wrap it up. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more. Let us know what you're thinking, okay? Because we think this is really, really great stuff. But you know what? We're on mission, right? We got to challenge them to be on mission.
That's right. All of you roguers out there, your ongoing mission, should you choose to accept it, is this. Decide to step over the line. Find like-minded, wise people. Strap on the armor of a firm commitment.
Yes.
Storm the gates of convention and free others from limited thinking.
Should you choose to accept it, right? There it is. We're calling you out, guys. Gals, we're calling you out. All right. So we thank you. We thank you for listening. We're just so pleased that you're tuned in. We hope we brought value, right? Fun stuff, guys.
Keep following us. We're so grateful you're following us, and invite somebody else to follow us as well. If you like the juice that we're eating here and the fruit that we're eating, tell somebody about it.
Yes.
And on your podcast platform, please rate us. A 5-star rating will be wonderful. That allows us to do what we're doing and to get out there more access to more people out there in the world. And the outer world, since this was the cosmic good, the aliens.
Yes. Yes. So, and next week episode, right? I think we are going to talk about, we've talked about this, we say it in the beginning of our podcast, about a new renaissance. So we're going to flesh that out a little bit, because we think it's definitely time for us to start to begin to gather folks together that are part of that vanguard. So tune in next week. We'd appreciate it. And we again, thank you so much. We take care and have a great week, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Wow, you made it and can now unbuckle. Thanks for listening to The Cosmic Good, in which we explored some of the dissonances between the concept that we live in a benevolent universe and what we experience on a daily basis. Remember to visit the website at www.gorogue.life for lots of follow-up information, see the show notes for any links to episode content, and join us in the ongoing cafe conversation, where we post some thought-provoking ideas and challenges for your roguish conversations. Oh, and of course, tell everyone you know about us and like, follow, and engage. Be sure to tune in next week when Mac unleashes another unthinkable conversation. That is, if you dare.